According to Lamb, he wrote in 2017 that there are 10 reasons why folks do not ask questions. And today we're looking at an issue of questions. We all have questions. I have questions. We all have questions. There's 10 reasons, 10 basic reasons why folks do not ask questions. And of those 10 reasons, one that comes up at least 3 times, maybe more if you look at it in proper context, the word fear comes up. Fear. Fear. Here's his list. He says, one does not ask the question because one does not understand why asking the question is important. Okay? You go to a dealership and you have your car worked on and the guy says, and Gary knows because this happened, 3 or 4 times in a row consecutively, the guy says, this is what it's going to be. Not that you were gouged, but you went to the dealership is what we're saying. So, a question that would be important is, how did you come to that figure, right? If money's not an issue, then you don't ask the question. That's why people don't ask the question. The question isn't important. Folks don't ask questions because folks need help in forming a good question. They don't know how to get the answer they're looking for by asking the right question. Folks don't, because good questions aren't formed in the moment, they don't ask the question. In other words, they might be going home and say, you know what, I should have asked that. How many people have ever been to a doctor's office and something was said and you think on the way home, man, I really should have asked that question it came to me outside of that time. Another reason people don't ask questions is one is not curious or interested in the subject. You know, we could go to a good many seminars and listen about a lot of things, and none of us ask any questions. Why? Because it's not interesting. We don't care. Right? That's a reason people don't ask questions. Also, another reason folks don't ask questions is people are totally lost. Right? Meaning they have no idea what's going on and wouldn't have any idea what to ask. Who's ever been there? I've been there before. Another reason one doesn't ask a question is they're an introvert, right? They don't want to, it's not within their nature to put themselves out there for a question sometimes. And naturally, one isn't going to engage in conversation if that's not who we are. Some of us are loud. You can see us from way off. And other people, we're just not. Here's our fear. Folks don't ask questions because they're afraid of asking a dumb question. In other words, hey, I should know that. And if I ask that question, they're going to know that I'm not as smart as I probably think I should be. Who can relate to that? My hand's up. Another fear folks have, and I can relate to this, is the fear of looking uncool or like a teacher's pet, like you're trying to gain attention to yourself by asking the question. Another fear. Fear that one, including the authority, whether it's the teacher or whoever, will think that they're wasting everybody's time. You ever thought that? I could ask that, but maybe the answer, we don't need to spend time looking at that. And maybe someone else has already passed that. Maybe Brother Adam, we've looked at that the past couple weeks, like you indicated maybe with the question, you know, that you were asking at the start of your Sunday school. Maybe we're wasting everybody's time, or we think we're wasting everybody's time, so we're afraid to ask the question. And also, there's a perceived lack of time, maybe, to answer the question, right? Well, if I ask this question, and I know I've only got 10 minutes to talk about it, and this is a 30-minute, 60-minute, eternity kind of a question, maybe I won't ask my question, and it'll be left unasked. But what's the issue with questions? What are we told in school about questions? If you have the question, probably someone else is wondering the same thing, right? probably someone else is one in the family. And you've been told there are no stupid questions, right? Well, I've heard it this way. There are no stupid questions, only stupid people, right? But if you ask the question and you know, now you know today where you didn't know yesterday, and now you're not stupid, you're not ignorant anymore, we know. Today, our passage in Mark chapter 10, if you would, or chapter 9 rather, Mark chapter 9, let's read it. Begin reading in verse 30. And they departed thence, who is they? Jesus and his disciples, and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. Or they were sneaking through. They were going somewhere, and they were keeping it quiet. And they were keeping it quiet. Four, he taught his disciples. He had special instruction for his people. He taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask. Today the subject is afraid to ask. Afraid to ask. We have here elite, the original church, in the presence of Jesus Christ, and they were afraid to ask. In the text before us, Jesus plainly presents to them the gospel of the Lord's Christ. He told these folks that the death and resurrection from burial, presumably you don't resurrect from nothing, he must have been dead and buried and rise again. He taught the necessity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Upon hearing this, the disciples, we are told, lacked understanding in his sayings. How could they lack understanding in the gospel? Something so easy, so simple. Well, we're not all on the same level. Some of you all got it way better than I have it. But we're all ignorant. Okay, we're all on the level playing field that none of us knows what this Bible totally has to say about God, about us, about His promises. We're all on the learning curve here. They didn't know what He was talking about. They didn't know. They lacked the information, the explanation, and the enlightenment of learning from the teacher of all teachers. Their fear, let me ask this, they were afraid. Is it because that Jesus in any way was a bad teacher that they were afraid? No. He was perfect. He was the perfect teacher. He is the perfect teacher. And our manual, our handbook, our reading, it is the perfect reading for the course of life. This is the perfect instruction manual, written by the perfect instructor. They obviously had a desire to know what Jesus was talking about, as we can gather that they collectively were afraid to ask. It doesn't say outright, but perhaps they spoke amongst themselves. What does he mean? What's he talking about? As a group, they lacked understanding and were afraid to ask the one person who could tell them what he meant. Afraid. It doesn't just mean that they were timid. It means they were terrified, that they were put to flight, that they were struck with fear or amazement. They were frozen in hesitation. What do we do? What do we do? They were passively alarmed. I don't know if you've ever been passively alarmed or not. Usually when we get alarmed, we start screaming and shouting and swatting and all kinds of stuff. These people were passively alarmed. The message of the day is a relatively simple one. It's one of self-examination. And being creatures, we have limited understanding. We can see the point that the Lord's ways and His design are much higher than we could ever possibly comprehend. Let's remind ourselves what Paul wrote to the Romans. please, if you would, in Romans chapter 11. And Paul, again, he was a man. He didn't have perfect understanding. Romans chapter 11, he had a good bit of understanding. And this is not a pass to say, oh, nobody knows, let's go live it up. But we are to ask for understanding. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed or repaid unto Him again. For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The Bible does say that there is a good many things that Jesus did do that are not written in this book. But the things we have in this book from Genesis to Revelation are given to us why? That we would see Him, that we would trust in Christ, and that His people would be saved from their sins according to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very easy, however, to get rightfully overwhelmed by the majesty of God and the impressiveness of His wisdom. At the same time, we are encouraged to seek after the Lord and are permitted even to ask God for certain things. In our prayers, we are to ask God for certain things, and our prayers ought to be in asking according to the will of God. There are many questions. There's many questions we could ask one another. I could ask you all many questions, and you could ask me some, and I might come back. We might kick around ideas. Brother Adam, be very careful kicking around ideas on different internet sources. But this idea of the day that the disciples had a question about God's Word and they didn't ask the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Himself, for understanding, we might think, wow, Why were they so dumb? Why didn't they just ask Him? Some things that I would like for us to understand. As we seek the Lord in His Word, and I'll say this a couple times during this message, as we seek Him in His Word, the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write these things down. And the same Holy Spirit that caused them to write these things down, that points to Christ and even rose Christ up from the dead, is the same Holy Spirit that brought life unto us. That's the secret decoder key, you could say. That's the special thing in the box that lets us know what God would have us to know about Him, is the Spirit Himself. But we must be asking, you young men, as you do your studies, prayerfully ask, every time that the Lord would show you the glory of the Lord in these pages. Every time. Not for our glory, not so we could say, look how much we know, but so that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ in these pages. I want you to see some things that really happened. Please turn in the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3, we'll read verses 3 through 12. And Solomon loved the Lord. Hey, we love the Lord, right? Because He first loved us? Yeah. So, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. He had those little glimpses of serving other gods, just like we all do. Does that excuse it? Absolutely not. Solomon was a saved man. And if you read about the life of Solomon, those few sacrifices that he had turned into some pretty big problems in his life. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, that thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he has walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept him for this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I'm little. I'm low. I don't have what it takes. I know not how to go out or to come in. And that so he shows humility before the Lord. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. He shows the sovereignty of God. A great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. There he reminds himself and he praises the Lord for honoring the promise he gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He's already showing great wisdom here, isn't he? Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. That's great. Solomon can have first place. But our desire should be a competition, all of us, that the Lord would grant us all equal footing for that second. There's no designation to say, hey, you're second behind Solomon. We should all desire wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the Lord, granted of the Lord. Why? To do His will. That's why. Not so we could build houses, and not so we could build businesses, and not so we can do whatever we want to do. His desire for wisdom came that he wanted to serve God at the highest capacity possible amongst the people of God for the sake of the name of the Lord's name. That's why he wanted this wisdom. If you turn over to chapter 4, begin reading at verse 29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman of Chalco, and Darda, the sons of Machol, and his fame was in all nations round about. Now those must have been wise men, otherwise their names wouldn't have been brought up. But he was wiser. Why? Because he had the wisdom of the Lord. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. We've read the Song of Songs, but he wrote over 1,000, he wrote 1,005 songs. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He also spake of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Yeah, he had great wisdom. But that's the Lord's wisdom that he gave, that he had. He was a recipient of the Lord's wisdom. Why? Because he was not afraid to ask. He asked the Lord, please, wisdom, understanding, please. And the Lord was gracious to give it to him. The Lord declares that none will be like unto Solomon. And truly Solomon was wise. But it was the Lord granting this wisdom. Solomon was not afraid to ask, but also maintained humility in his heart. Solomon was greatly blessed of the Lord in his understanding, and that ought to be our desire in the Word of God. Please now look, if you would please, in the book of James. Talk about wisdom. If you want to see some, if you want to hear somebody cut it to you straight, you turn over to the book of James. James will tell you straight. James chapter 1. And verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you don't know what this says, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Again, in our asking must be to the glory of God. It must be done in a humble way. But putting away all fear, James addresses fear. Look what he says. We'll continue reading in verse 6. But let him ask in faith. What's the opposite of faith? Fear. What's the opposite of fear? Faith. Right? Those are opposites. Don't ask. Don't be overwhelmed in fear. Don't be passively struck and paralyzed in fear. Ask in faith. Faith in what? Faith in the faithfulness of God that He will what? Give wisdom to those who ask. Having faith that it's His wisdom to begin with. Having faith that He is tender to us as children. Having faith that the Word of God is the supply of all our understanding that we need. Faith in God. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. That means without discrimination. Okay? Without discrimination. You have a question, you ask it. You don't say, you know what, this is a good question for the Lord, but this isn't a good question for the Lord. I'm not going to ask for that. That sounds dumb. No, if we're asking, and we're asking to the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're asking in worshiping of the Father, and we're asking with evidence of fruit of the Spirit, there is no dumb question. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, without discrimination. If you have a question about God's Word, you let it fly. It don't matter how dumb or what fear you have, you let it fly, and the Lord will give you wisdom in that thing. That's a pretty great promise. For he that wavereth, or he that holds back, he that's at odds against himself, do I ask or do I not? The man who hesitates, the man who hedges his bets or holds back or reserves, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Back and forth. He's turbulent. Unsettled. Right? For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If we're to ask, and ask with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, we're supposed to ask these things for them, increasingly, intelligence in the Word of God. But we're asking these things with expression toward ourselves, Lord, bless this so I can do this, and me, and I. Then that man will not receive anything according to that, right? Remember, we studied the prayer a couple weeks ago. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, right? So if I try to mix my will and God's will along those things in my prayer, what's it say? For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Lord, I really want this. But only if I don't have to deal with the consequences of it. Lord, I really want to do this. Lord, I really see this as a good thing. But Lord, you've already given me instruction in this, but would you please bless me in it anyway? That sounds like a double-minded man, doesn't it? wanting to serve God and idols, wanting to serve God and mammon, wanting to serve God and self. What do we do? Well, we're to ask in faith, without fear, asking according to the will of God, to the pleasure of God, our asking. John chapter 14, if you would. John chapter 14. You know, we might think that there's some dumb questions. One young man, and we'll read, let's just read John chapter 14. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. For where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? This is an honest question. A question without fear. He wanted to know what the Lord was talking about. The Lord, he wanted to know, he wanted to see. Christ was talking about his exaltation in the gospel. And Thomas, without fear, in faith, wanted to know the way. And the answer that Christ gave him is one of the sweetest, most gentle, loving answers. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. He didn't say, Thomas, that's a dumb question. You just wasted everybody's time. He said unto him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What a straightforward answer. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now see, when one man asks a question in faith, and he sees some things, and Jesus explains it, another person has courage to ask in faith, and we can build on the faith of each other's questions. Jesus saith unto him, Have I so long been with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And sayest thou then, how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Here's where it comes good. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, in faith, without fear, without wavering, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now this isn't just saying, Lord, I want $1 million in Jesus' name, amen. Blab it and grab it or name it and claim it and all that stuff. This is asking the will of God in the name or in the cause or on the account of the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't just throw that out there in the middle. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Well, wouldn't the Spirit of truth reveal unto us all understanding and any question? He wouldn't be the Spirit of lies. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him. But ye know him, child of God, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Asking in the name, cause, or account of the Lord Jesus Christ has been radically misunderstood in so-called Christianity. But we are to ask anything in boldness, in wisdom, and in knowledge for the cause of Christ and in the glory of the Father, and Christ will directly move in what we are asking for. If we pray as Christ told us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, then our prayers will be answered 100% of the time. Consider that. Think about that. If we pray the will of the Father, if we pray in that method we learned, or in that tone that we learned a few weeks ago, then our prayers will be answered every time. Not in time, not the time we want, but it will be according to the Father's will. Do we ask questions or ask for things for the glory of God? Verse 15 further continues the asking that we just read there in John. It would be done in the line of love, right? When our asking of questions, when I ask the Lord a question in His Word, it'll have the spine, it'll have the skeleton of love, and the questions that I ask would be in keeping the commandments of God, loving God and loving my neighbor. If I'm loving God and loving my neighbor and keeping the commandments, and I'm asking the Lord what the Word of God means, James told us that He'll give it to us, He'll give us wisdom liberally. And you know what? We've seen evidence of that, haven't we? Haven't we seen these young men who started a few months ago becoming very wise in the things of God? I'm not just saying wise. They're very wise in the things of God. This is no lie. The Lord will give wisdom. He will, if we're not afraid to ask. The issue at hand in Mark is that the Lord had something. He had said something, rather. And His people didn't get it. What should they have done? I'm going to give you some multiple choices, and you guys tell me what we should do in a similar circumstance. When we're told something in the Word of God, should we A, seek out the greatest theologians of our time? Should we B, read what the prophets, other folks, what they might have said on this matter? C, should we read what the scribes and the Pharisees and the commentators had to say about what these things have to say? Should we reason within ourselves? D, about what Christ might have meant to say? Should we E, look on the very people who aren't even part of the Lord's church and look at their opinions on what famous evangelist and whoever and whatever author, what their feelings are on the Word of God? Should we F, forget about it and move on, because let's face it, all that matters is that we're sovereign grace? Or should we G, ask the Lord what He meant? G. Ask the Lord what He meant. Lord, what do You mean by this? I don't know what this means. Our answer seems pretty reasonable. Is the Lord any less Lord? Is He any less God than He's ever been? The answer is no. If we have questions about the Word of God, we are told that with confidence we are to ask the Lord for wisdom. Isn't that one of the seven spirits of God, wisdom? Yes. Who can remember what the seven spirits of God are?
Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, Lord, and fear of the Lord.
I think she said seven. Yes. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, spirit of might, counsel, fear of the Lord, and spirit of God. Seven. And He will give it to us according to His delight. Right? Parents, don't you love when your children are asking for good things to give them good things? Yes. Parenthood, as well as marriage, as well as other relationships we have, is all an example to show us, child of God, the great love God has toward us. If we're asking according to His will, it would be His will to reveal Himself unto us, and that we would glory in nothing but the Lord. That would be His, He would be pleased by that. He will give us according to His delight. He'll give us as much as we can handle of Him if we're asking for His glory. The same God, again, who spoke to the prophets in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and the same Christ, by the merit of the same Christ who came in those very same verses, He will give us understanding. Why should we be afraid? The asking that Christ promoted in John chapter 14 also had the promise of the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Parakletos, the Helper, the One who was to come beside the Spirit of Truth. Right? He's not just with us, He's in us. The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, has the moving of the Holy Spirit. This is a book that was inspired through the moving of the Spirit. The Parakletos Himself. We're to ask. And His job, what's the job of the Holy Spirit? It says in John chapter 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter," same word, Parakletos, "is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father," so the Spirit is sent to us from Jesus, from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, "which proceedeth from the Father," comes from the Father, "to do the Father's will, shall testify of me," Christ speaking. So our understanding in the Word of God will be Christ-centered, according as the Spirit is made to come to us from the Father and show us through, and fruit of the Spirit will be there as well. That's remember, we're supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, the same principles apply when we study or we seek God in His Word. Same principles apply. So, children of God, put these things together. Look, if you would please, in Philippians chapter 2. Let's start putting these columns together here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Look, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." Christ humbled himself. Solomon humbled himself. We are to humble ourselves. That's why he said, "Let this mind be in you." He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. "Wherefore God hath also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So, in our asking, Christ is to be exalted. The Father is to be glorified. And the moving of the Spirit is to be there. Have no fear. You're asking like this? Have no fear in asking God what He meant in His Word. Looking again then in Mark chapter 9. Turn back there if you would. Mark chapter 9. And we were in verses 30 through 32. Looking back, see the missed opportunity the disciples had. We read in verse 31, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall raise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. If they would have asked, and I don't want to deal too hard in hypotheticals, but when we read God's Word and there's something mysterious there, if we would have the Word of God before us and have the courage to ask, look what they could have seen. If they would have had the courage to ask for of Christ this clarification, they would have been shown the following. They would have been shown the glory of the providence of God the Father in the sin sacrifice of Christ. They would have seen the glory of God the Father in the gospel of Christ. They would have seen the lordship and messiahship of Christ being Christ and fulfilling the will of the Father of the sin sacrifice from the garden. They would have seen that. And they would have been shown these things by the Spirit of God. They would have had an answer from the Holy Trinity. When we have our questions in the Bible, the answers come by merit of the Father who sanctified us, Jesus who preserves us, and the Spirit who calls us. We have an amazing God. If we're not afraid to ask, these questions will be revealed to us. I would like to brag on the Lord for a few minutes. I believe without reservation at all that the Lord is particularly moving again here in this congregation. And there's no room to argue this. This is what I mean. Again, these young men seeking after wisdom, don't be satisfied with what you know. Ask the Lord every day as you study, as you read, before you read. Ask Him, what does this mean after you read? Thank you, Lord, for showing me what this means. And I'll give you a pro tip here. He won't tell you everything you need to know in one sitting. This is a lifetime of seeking the Lord and asking Him without discrimination and without wavering, asking Him for wisdom, and He'll give it. He'll give it. He's amazing. You know, folks can study this Bible their whole lives and still be amazed at the amazing grace of God Almighty. The same Spirit, again, that moved the writers is with us today. Look with me, if you would, in the Proverbs. We have a few more passages that we'd like to read here. Proverbs chapter 28. Book of Proverbs chapter 28. And we'll read verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all. Things is italicized. But you folks, if you're seeking the Lord, if you're asking the questions in faith, you won't just understand a lot, you'll understand all. You'll get it all. That's what it says. We're to seek the Lord. Our questions ought to seek the Lord. We're to be seekers or desirous of finding and searching out by prayer and worship the Lord. Isaiah 55 gives us some indication here as well of how things should be going for us. Isaiah chapter 55. Please look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that thing which I please, that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you in the singing, and all the trees in the field shall clap their hands. The Word of God is sure. The Word of God is solid. The Word of God will perform well what He has desired it to do. Beg the Lord that it would be His desire to grant unto us wisdom in the Word of God. These verses declare that the Word of God will accomplish that thing that He has desired. It's obvious that the will of the Lord is to reveal Himself to His people and to have them fellowship with us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His desire. Don't take my word for it. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're to read verse 7 of that passage as well. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. We're to have that fellowship. The desire of our hearts ought to be as close to the Lord in understanding in His Word that we could ever be. That ought to be our desire, to know as much about God in His Word by what He said to us. This book is written to us. This book was written to me and to you, to know as much as we can know, asking without fear. Brothers and sisters, there is so much of the Word of God we don't know. My shame is that oftentimes I don't know what things mean because I'm afraid to ask. Afraid I might look stupid, afraid that everyone else knows but me, afraid that y'all will be bored to death. Do they really want to know this? Should I really study this? Do they really care? There are many fears. As we've read, fear should be removed by faith in God. Again, they're opposites. We should have fear removed and ask in faith. Faith that He is kind with our lack of understanding, that He's gentle, that He knows that we're flesh, the faith that He is tender to answer our questions, faith that God specifically left us, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, with access to His promise of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, fear, counsel, might, and the Spirit of God. If you look in Timothy, 1 Timothy rather, this is so important that we know this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, he says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Well, what associates with truth? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. If we above all people are to have truth, then we, in this place, above all people, ought to ask for it. Right? We ought to seek it in the Word of God. Child of God, don't be afraid to ask. Ask the Lord for wisdom in His Word, and He'll give you wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Continue to seek the Lord, and lean not on your own understanding. You can write down Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. The church is made up largely of folks who are young in the faith. This is a younger church. But don't let age fool you. Jesus commanded us to be as little children. So in many ways, y'all have us beat. Because little children believe all things, don't they? Sometimes my fear gets in the way of my faith, but a child doesn't have a lot of the fears. They completely put themselves out there in faith. We're all to be as little children and have absolute faith in God that He is not a derelict father, that He will give us the supply of our need and knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We're to be believing, having faith in God to give us answers in His Word. It ought to be our desire to seek the Lord, His will, and not ours. It ought to be our desire, as we read in Mark, as we gathered from Mark, to not be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
Then there are many questions. Why will you die? That's a question. Knowing that Jesus Christ saves sinners, why will you die? Here's another question. Why do you this moment reject the gospel of Jesus Christ? The answer to that is the hardness of your heart. Here's a question. What would you give in that day of judgment in exchange for your soul? The question that ought to be upon your heart day and night. What must I do to be saved? I pray that the Lord would not let you sleep, that you would be pained in the heart until that question is answered. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Brother Gary, would you please come and lead us in a time of invitation? Child of God, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid. We read an account of men who were afraid. Let's not be. Don't be afraid.